17th, 1984. Few persons can bring themselves to believe that the word has within it an internal sense that is not apparent from the letter, because it is so remote from the sense of the letter that it is, as it were, far removed from it as heaven is from earth. But that the sense of the letter contains such things within itself, and that it is representative and significative of arcana that no one sees except the Lord and angels from him, is evident from what has been stated in various places in the first part of this work. The sense of the letter bears a relation to the internal sense like that of the human body to the soul. While a man is in the body and thinks from bodily things, he knows almost nothing about the soul. For the functions of the body are different from those of the soul, so different that if the functions of the soul were disclosed, they would not be acknowledged as such. The case is the same with the internals of the word. Its soul, that is its life, is in its internals, and these have regard solely to the Lord, his kingdom, the church, and to those things in man that belong to his kingdom and church. And when these are regarded, it is the word of the Lord, for in this case there is life itself therein. That this is really the case has been confirmed by many things in the first part, and has been granted me to know as a certainty. For no ideas concerning bodily and worldly things can by any possibility pass to the angels, but they are put off and altogether removed at the first threshold as they leave man, as may be seen in the first part from experience itself. Number 1769 to 1772 inclusive, and also how they are changed, number 1872 to 1876. This may also be sufficiently evident from very many things in the word that are not at all intelligible in the sense of the letter, and that would not be acknowledged as the word of the Lord if there were not such a soul and life in them. Nor would they appear as divine to anyone who has not been imbued from infancy with the belief that the word is inspired and thereby holy. Who would know from the sense of the letter what those things signify which Jacob spoke to his sons just before his death? Genesis 49. That Dan shall be a serpent upon the way, an adder upon the path, biting the horse's heels, and his rider shall fall backward. Verse 17. That a troop shall ravage Gad, and he shall ravage the heel. Verse 19. That Naphtali is a hind let loose, giving discourses of elegance. Verse 21. That Judah shall bind his young ass to the vine, and the son of his she-ass to the noble vine. He shall wash his garment in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are redder than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Verses 11 and 12. And the case is the same with very many passages in the prophets. But what these things signify cannot possibly appear except in the internal sense, in which all things both in general and in particular are coherent in the most beautiful order. The case is the same again with everything that the Lord said concerning the last times. In the consummation of the age, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth wail. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. These words by no means signify the darkening of the sun and moon, nor the falling of the stars from heaven, nor the wailing of the tribes. but they signify charity and faith. For in the internal sense, these are the sun and the moon, and these will be darkened. And they also signify the cognitions of good and truth, for these are the stars, which are here called the powers of the heavens, and which will thus fall down and vanish. And that so also will all things of faith, which are the tribes of the earth. This was shown also in part first, number 31, 32, 1053, 1529 to 1531, 1808. From these few things, the nature of the internal sense of the word may be seen, and also that it is remote, and in some places very remote, from the sense of the letter. But still the sense of the letter represents truths, and sets forth appearances of truth in which a man can be when not in the light of truth. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Abram was a son of 90 years and 9 years. And Yehovah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am God Shaddai, walk thou before me, and be thou integer. 2. And I will give my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee very exceedingly. 3. And Abram fell upon his faces, and God spake with him, saying, 4. I, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be for a father of a multitude of nations. 5. And thy name shall no more be called Abram, and thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of a multitude of nations have I made thee. 6. And I will make thee fruitful very exceedingly, and I will make thee nations, and kings shall go forth from thee. 7. And I will set up my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, unto their generations, for an eternal covenant to be to thee for God, and to thy seed after thee. 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land of thy sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be to them for God. 9. And God said unto Abraham, And thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee, unto their generations. 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, that every male be circumcised unto you. 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and you. 12. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised unto you, every male in your generations, he that is born in the house, and he that is bought with silver from every son that is a stranger, who is not of thy seed. 13. Circumcising he shall be circumcised that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy silver. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an eternal covenant. 14. And the uncircumcised male, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his peoples. He hath made vain my covenant. 15. And God said unto Abraham, Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. 16. And I will bless her, and will also give thee a son from her. And I will bless her, and she shall be for nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. 17. And Abraham fell upon his faces, and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall there be born to a son of 100 years? And shall Sarah, that is a daughter of 90 years, bear? 18. And Abraham said unto God, Would that Ishmael might live before thee. 19. And God said, Truly Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will set up my covenant with him for an eternal covenant, to his seed after him. 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I will bless him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him very exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. 21. And my covenant will I set up with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the following year. 22. And he left off speaking with him, and God went up from over Abraham. 23. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his silver, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God spake with him. 24. And Abraham was a son of 99 years when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. 25. And Ishmael his son was a son of 13 years when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. 26. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. 27. And all the men of his house, he that was born in the house, and he that was bought with silver from the stranger, were circumcised with him. The Contents, 1985. The subject here treated of is the union of the Lord's divine essence with the human essence, and of the human essence with the divine essence, and also the conjunction of the Lord through the human essence with the human race. 1986. Yahuwah was manifested to the Lord in his human, verse 1, foretelling the union, verses 2 and 3, namely of the divine with the human and of the human with the divine, verses 4 and 5, and that all good and truth is from him, verse 6. The conjunction of the divine with the human race would thus be effected through him, verse 7. And the celestial kingdom would be his, which he would give to those who should have faith in him, verses 8 and 9. But man must first remove his loves and their foul cupidities, and so be purified. This is what was represented and is signified by circumcision, verses 10 and 11. Thus conjunction would be effected, both with those who are within the church and with those who are without it. Verse 12. Purification must by all means proceed, otherwise there is no conjunction but condemnation. And yet after all the conjunction cannot take place except in man's impurity. Verses 13 and 14. The union of the human essence with the divine essence, or of truth with good, is foretold, verses 15 to 17. Also conjunction with those who are in the truths of faith, Namely, as with those who belong to the celestial church, so with those who belong to the spiritual church. Verses 18 and 19. And that the latter also would be imbued with the goods of faith. Verse 20. In conclusion, these things will be effected through the union in the Lord of the human essence with the divine essence. Verse 21. The end of the prediction, verse 22. It was so to be done, and it was so done. Verses 23 to 27. The internal sense, 1987, verse 1. And Abram was a son of 90 years and 9 years. And Yehovah appeared unto Abram, and said unto him, I am God Shaddai, walk thou before me, and be thou integer. Abram was a son of 90 years and 9 years. Signifies the time before the Lord had fully conjoined the internal man with the rational. Abram signifies the Lord in that state and in that age. And Yehovah appeared to Abram, signifies manifestation, and said unto him, signifies perception, I am God Shaddai, in the sense of the letter signifies the name of Abram's God, by which name the Lord was first represented before them. Walk thou before me, signifies the truth of faith. And be thou integer, signifies good. Abram was a son of 90 years and 9 years. That this signifies the time before the Lord had fully conjoined the internal man with the rational is evident from the signification of 9 when regarded as coming before 10, or what is the same, of 99 before 100. For Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. The nature of the internal sense of the word may be seen in an especial manner from the numbers, as well as from the names that occur in the word. For the numbers therein, whatever they may be, signify actual things, as do the names also. For there is absolutely nothing in the word that has not what is divine within it, or that does not possess an internal sense. And how remote this is from the sense of the letter is especially manifest from the numbers and the names. For in heaven no attention is given to these, but to the things that are signified by them. For example, whenever the number 7 occurs, instead of 7 there at once comes to the angels what is holy. For 7 signifies what is holy, and this from the fact that the celestial man is the 7th day or the Sabbath, and thus the Lord's rest. Number 84 to 87, 395, 433, 716, 881. The case is similar with the other numbers, as for example with 12. Whenever 12 occurs, there comes to the angels the idea of all things that belong to faith, for the reason that these were signified by the 12 tribes. Number 577. That in the word numbers signify actual things may be seen demonstrated in part first. Number 482, 487, 488, 493, 575, 647, 648, 755, 813, 893. The case is the same with the number 99, and that this number signifies the time before the Lord had fully conjoined the internal man with the rational is evident from the signification of 100 years, which was Abram's age when Isaac was born to him. For by Isaac is represented and signified the Lord's rational man that is conjoined with his internal man, that is, with the divine. In the word, 100 signifies the same as 10, for it is formed by the multiplication of 10 into 10. And 10 signifies remains, as shown in part first, number 576. What the remains in man are may be seen above, number 468, 530, 561, 660, 1050. Also what the remains in the Lord were, number 1906. These arcana cannot be set forth further, but everyone may form a conclusion on the subject after he has first made himself acquainted with what remains are, for what they are is at this day unknown, provided it be known that in the Lord's case, remains mean the divine goods that he procured for himself by his own power, and by means of which he united the human essence to the divine essence. From all this we may see what is signified by 99. For this number, because it precedes 100, signifies the time before the Lord had fully conjoined the internal man with the rational. In the Lord's case, the first rational was represented by Ishmael. And the nature of this rational has been sufficiently shown above, in the preceding chapter 16. But by Isaac is represented the Lord's divine rational, as will appear in what follows. From Abram's staying so long in the land of Canaan, now 24 years, that is, 10 years before Ishmael was born, and 13 years after that, without his as yet having a son by his wife Sarai, and from the promise of his son being first given when he was 99 years old, everyone can see that some arcanum is involved. The arcanum was that he might thereby represent the union of the Lord's divine essence with his human essence, and in fact the union of his internal man, which is Yahuwah, with his rational. That Abram signifies the Lord in that state and at that age is evident from what has already been said concerning Abram. In the internal sense, Abram represents the Lord, for when he is mentioned in the word, no other Abram is understood in heaven. Those who have been born within the church and have heard about Abram from the word, on their entrance into the other life, do indeed have some knowledge of him. But as he is like any other man, and cannot render them any aid, they no longer care about him. And they are informed that by Abram in the word, there is meant no other than the Lord. But the angels, who are in celestial ideas and do not fix them on any man, know nothing about Abram. And therefore when the word is being read by man, and Abram is mentioned, they perceive no other than the Lord. And when the words now before us are read, they perceive the Lord in that state and at that age. For Yahuwah here speaks with Abram, that is, with the Lord. 1990. Yahuwah appeared unto Abram. That this signifies manifestation is evident without explanation, for as before said, the Lord is represented by Abram. No man in the whole world has seen Yahuwah, the Father of the Lord, but the Lord alone saw him, as he himself said in John. No one hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath set him forth. 1 verse 18. again. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. 5, verse 37. And again. Not that anyone hath seen the Father, save he that is with the Father. He hath seen the Father. 6, verse 46. The infinite itself, which is above all the heavens, and is over the inmost things that pertain to man, cannot be made manifest except through the divine human which pertains to the Lord alone. No communication of the infinite with those who are finite is possible from any other source. And this is also the reason that when Yahuwah appeared to the men of the most ancient church, and afterwards to the ancient church that was after the flood, and then again to Abraham and the prophets, he was manifested to them as a man. That this was the Lord, he teaches openly in John. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. 8, verses 56 and 58. Also in the prophets, as in Daniel, by whom he was seen as the Son of Man. 7, verse 13. From these passages it may be seen that the infinite essay, which is Yahuwah, could not possibly be manifested to man except through the human essence, thus except through the Lord, and therefore that it has been manifested to no one save the Lord alone. That he might also be present and be conjoined with man, after man had completely removed himself from the divine and had immersed himself in foul cupidities, and thereby in mere bodily and earthly things, he assumed in actuality the human essence itself by birth, that so he might still adjoin the infinite divine to man now so far removed. Otherwise men would have perished to eternity with the death of the damned. The other arcana concerning the manifestation of Yahuwah in the Lord's human, when he was in a state of humiliation, before he had fully united the human essence to the divine essence and had glorified it, will of the Lord's divine mercy be set forth in what follows, so far as they can be comprehended. 1991. And said unto him, that this signifies perception is evident from the Lord's perception, which was from Yahuwah, spoken of before. Number 19:19. Also, because in the internal sense, Yahuwah saying, or God saying, signifies to perceive. Number 1602, 1791, 1815, 1819, 1822. 1992. I am God Shaddai. That in the sense of the letter, this signifies the name of Abram's God, by which name the Lord was first represented before them, is evident from the things contained in the word concerning Abram, and concerning the house of his father, in that they worshipped other gods. In Syria, whence Abram came, there still existed remains of the ancient church, and many families there retained its worship, as is evident from Eber, who was of that country, from whom came the Hebrew nation. And they in like manner retained the name Yahuwah, as is evident from what has been shown in part first, number 1343, and also from the case of Balaam, who was from Syria, and offered sacrifices, and called Yahuwah his God. That Balaam was from Syria may be seen in Numbers 23, verse 7. That he offered sacrifices, Numbers 22, verses 39 and 40, 23, verses 1 to 3, 14 and 29. that he called Yahuwah his God, Numbers 22, 8, 13, 18, and 31. 23, verses 8, 12, and 16. But this was not the case with the house of Terah, the father of Abram and Nahor. For this was one of the families of the nations there that had not only lost the name Yahuwah, but had also served other gods, and instead of Yahuwah had worshipped Shaddai, whom they called their god. That they had lost the name Yahuwah is evident from the things adduced in part first, number 1343, and that they served other gods is openly stated in Joshua. Joshua said unto all the people, Thus hath said Yahuwah, the God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt of old time beyond the river, Terah the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Now fear Yahuwah, and serve him in entirety and in truth. And put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Yahuwah. And if it be evil in your eyes to serve Yahuwah, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites. 24, verses 2, 14, and 15. That Nahor also, the brother of Abram, and the nation descended from him, served other gods, is evident from Laban the Syrian, who was in the city of Nahor and worshipped images of teraphim, which Rachel carried away. Genesis 24, verse 10, 31, verse 19, 26, 32, and 34. See also what is said on this subject in part first, number 1356. That instead of Yahuwah they worship Shaddai, whom they called their God, is distinctly stated in Moses. I, Yahuwah, appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as God Shaddai, and by my name Yahuwah was I not known to them. Exodus 6, verse 3. From all this we may see that in his early manhood, Abram, like other Gentiles, was an idolater, and that up to this time, while living in the land of Canaan, he had not rejected from his mind the god Shaddai, by which is meant in the sense of the letter the name of Abram's god, and that by this name the Lord was first represented before them, that is, before Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, as is evident from the passage just quoted. The reason why the Lord was willing to be first represented before them by the name Shaddai is that the Lord by no means desires to destroy suddenly, still less in a single moment, the worship that has been inseminated in anyone from his infancy, for this would be to tear up the root and thereby destroy the holy state of adoration and of worship that has been deeply implanted, and which the Lord never breaks but bends. The holy state of worship that has been enrooted from infancy is of such a nature that it cannot endure violence, but only a gentle and kindly bending. The case is the same with those Gentiles who in their bodily life had worshipped idols, and yet had lived in mutual charity. As the holy state of their worship has been enrooted from their infancy, in the other life it is not taken away in a moment, but successively. For in those who have lived in mutual charity, the goods and truths of faith can be easily implanted, and they receive them afterwards with joy, for charity is the very soil. And such also was the case with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in that the Lord suffered them to retain the name God Shaddai, insomuch that he said he was God Shaddai, and this from the meaning of the name. Some translators render Shaddai the Almighty, others the Thunderer, but it properly signifies the tempter or tester, and the benefactor after the temptations or trials, as is evident from the book of Job, which mentions Shaddai so frequently because Job was in trials or temptations, as may be seen from the following passages. Behold, happy is the man whom God chastiseth, and reject not thou the chastising of Shaddai. 5, verse 17. The errors of Shaddai are with me. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. 6, verse 4. He shall forsake the fear of Shaddai. 6, verse 14. I will speak to Shaddai, and I desire to contend with God. 13, verse 3. He hath stretched out his hand against God, and strengtheneth himself against Shaddai. 15, verse 25. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the fury of Shaddai. 21, verse 20. Shaddai, thou shalt not find him out. He is great in power and in judgment and in the greatness of justice. He will not afflict. 37, verse 23. Also in Joel. Alas for the day of Yahuwah is near, and as devastation from Shaddai shall it come. 1, verse 15. The same may also be seen from the word Shaddai itself, which signifies vastation and thus temptation, for temptation is a kind of vastation. But as this name took its rise from nations in Syria, he is not called Elohim Shaddai, but El Shaddai, and in Job simply Shaddai, and El or God is named separately. As after temptations there is consolation, those people also attributed the good resulting from them to the same Shaddai, as in Job 22, verses 17, 23, 25, and 26, as well as the understanding of truth, which also results from temptations, chapters 32, verse 8, 33, verse 4. And as Shaddai was thus esteemed as the God of truth, for vastation, temptation, chastising, and rebuking are not of good but of truth, and because the Lord was represented by him before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the name was retained even in the prophets. But in them by Shaddai is meant truth, as in Ezekiel. I heard the voice of the wings of the cherubim, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of Shaddai when they went, the voice of a tumult, like the voice of a camp. 1, verse 24. And again, the court was filled with the brightness of the glory of Yahuwah, and the voice of the wings of the cherubim was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of God Shaddai when he speaketh. 10, verses 4 and 5. Here Yahuwah denotes good, and Shaddai truth. In the internal sense of the word, wings in like manner signify things that belong to truth. Moreover, Isaac and Jacob also make mention of the God Shaddai in a similar sense, that is, as of one who tempts and delivers from temptation, and afterwards confers benefits. When Jacob was fleeing because of Esau, Isaac said to him, God Shaddai bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee. Genesis 28, verse 3. And when the sons of Jacob were about to go into Egypt to buy corn, and when they feared Joseph so greatly, Jacob said to them, God Shaddai give you mercies before the man, that he may release unto you your other brother and Benjamin. Genesis 43, verse 14. Jacob then called Israel, blessing Joseph, who had been in the evils of temptations or trials more than his brethren, and had been delivered from them, said, By the God of thy father, and he shall help thee, and with Shaddai, and he shall bless thee. Genesis 49, verse 25. All this shows why the Lord was at first willing to be represented by the God Shaddai, whom Abram worshipped, and why he said, I am God Shaddai. As in like manner he afterwards said to Jacob, I am God Shaddai, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 35, verse 11. And a further reason was that in what goes before, temptations were treated of in the internal sense. The worship of Shaddai among those people originated from the fact that, as was the case with a certain nation that of the Lord's divine mercy will be spoken of in what follows, so with those who were of the ancient church, there were often heard spirits who reproved them and who also afterwards comforted them. The spirits who reproved them were perceived at the left side, beneath the arm. Angels were present at such times, at the head, who governed the spirits and moderated the reproof. And as there was nothing that was said to them by the spirits which they did not regard as divine, they named the reproving spirit Shaddai. And because he afterwards administered consolation, they called him the God Shaddai. The men of that time, as also the Jews, because they did not understand the internal sense of the word, were in the religious belief that all evil and thus all temptation, like all good and thus all consolation, come from God. But that it is not so may be seen part first, Numbers 245, 592, 696, 1093, 1874, 1875. 1993. Walk thou before me. That this signifies the truth of faith is evident from the signification of walking as denoting to live according to the truth of faith. See number 519. And also from the signification of a way in relation to which walking is predicated as denoting truth. See number 627. 1994. And be thou integer. That this signifies the good of charity is evident from the signification of being integer, which is to do what is good from truth. That is, to do what is good from a conscience of truth, and thus from charity, for charity makes conscience. Concerning which signification, see number 612. But as the Lord is here treated of in the internal sense, by integer is signified the good of charity. For good proceeds from charity, insomuch that the truth which is derived from charity is itself good. 1995, verse 2. And I will give my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee most exceedingly. I will give my covenant between me and thee, signifies the union of the internal man, which was Yahuwah, with the interior man, and will multiply thee most exceedingly. signifies the fruitfulness to infinity of the affection of truth. 1996. I will give my covenant between me and thee. That this signifies the union of the internal man, which was Yahuwah, with the interior man, is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction. For whenever a covenant between Yahuwah and man is mentioned in the word, in the internal sense nothing else is signified by the covenant than the conjunction of the Lord with man. The covenant so often made between Yahuwah and the descendants of Jacob represented nothing else. But as this was confirmed in part first, number 665, 666, 1023, 1038, 1864, it would be superfluous to confirm it again here. The Lord's internal man was Yahuwah, because conceived of him. But the interior man is here represented by Abram, and therefore the covenant between me and thee signifies the union of the internal man, or Yahuwah, with the interior man, and thus with the Lord's human essence. 1997. I will multiply thee most exceedingly. That this signifies the fruitfulness to infinity of the affection of truth may be seen from the signification of to be multiplied as being predicated of truth, explained number 43, 55, 913, 983. And as the Lord is treated of, it signifies the fruitfulness to infinity of the truth that is from good, as before, number 1940. There are two affections, namely the affection of good and the affection of truth. The affection of good is to do what is good from the love of good, and the affection of truth is to do what is good from the love of truth. At the first view, these two affections appear to be the same. But in reality, they are distinct from each other, both as to essence and as to origin. The affection of good, or doing what is good from the love of good, is properly of the will. But the affection of truth, or doing what is good from the love of truth, is properly of the understanding. Thus, these two affections are distinct from each other in the same way as are the will and the understanding. The affection of good is from celestial love, but the affection of truth is from spiritual love. The affection of good can be predicated solely of the celestial man, but the affection of truth of the spiritual man. What the celestial or the celestial man is, and what the spiritual man, has been sufficiently shown in part first. The most ancient church which existed before the flood was in the affection of good, but the ancient church which existed after the flood was in the affection of truth. For the former was a celestial, but the latter a spiritual church. All the angels in the heavens are distinguished into celestial and spiritual. The celestial are those who are in the affection of good. The spiritual are those who are in the affection of truth. To the former, the Lord appears as a sun, but to the latter as a moon. Numbers 15:29 to 15:31, 18:38. This latter affection of truth, the Lord united to the affection of good, which is to do what is good from the love of good, when he united the human essence to the divine essence. Hence, by multiplying most exceedingly, is signified the fruitfulness to infinity of the truth that is from good. 1998, verse 3. And Abram fell upon his faces, and God spake with him, saying, Abram fell upon his faces signifies adoration. And God spake with him, saying, signifies a degree of perception. The expression God is used for the reason that the Lord is represented by the God Shaddai, whom Abram worshipped, also because truth is treated of, which was to be united to good. 1999. Abram fell upon his faces. That this signifies adoration is evident without explanation. To fall upon the face was a rite of adoration in the most ancient church, and thence in that of the ancients, for the reason that the face signified the interiors, and the state of their humiliation was represented by falling upon the face. Hence in the Jewish representative church it became a customary ceremonial. True adoration, or humiliation of heart, carries with it prostration to the earth upon the face before the Lord, as a gesture naturally flowing from it. For in humiliation of heart, there is the acknowledgement of self as being nothing but filthiness, and at the same time the acknowledgement of the Lord's infinite mercy towards that which is such. And when the mind is kept in these two acknowledgements, the very mind lets itself down towards hell and prostrates the body, nor does it uplift itself until it is uplifted by the Lord. This takes place in all true humiliation, with the perception of being uplifted by the Lord's mercy. Such was the humiliation of the men of the most ancient church, but very different is the case with that adoration which comes not from humiliation of the heart. See number 1153. That the Lord adored and prayed to Yahuwah his Father is known from the word of the Gospels, and also that he did so as to if one different from himself, although Yahuwah was in him. But the state in which the Lord was at these times was his state of humiliation, the nature of which has been stated in part first, namely, that he was then in the infirm human that was from the mother. But in so far as he put this off and put on the divine, he was in another state, which is called his state of glorification. In the former state he adored Yahuwah as one different from himself, although in himself, for, as has been said, his internal was Yahuwah. But in the latter, that is, in his state of glorification, he spoke with Yahuwah as with himself, for he was Yahuwah himself. But how the case is with these matters cannot be apprehended unless it is known what the internal is, and how the internal acts into the external, and further, in what manner the internal and the external are distinct from each other, and yet are conjoined. This, however, may be illustrated by something that is similar, namely, by the internal in man, and by its influx and operation into the external. That man has an internal, an interior or rational, and an external, may be seen above. Number 1889, 1940. Man's internal is that from which he is man, and by which he is distinguished from brute animals. By virtue of this internal he lives as a man after death and to eternity, and by means of it he can be uplifted by the Lord among the angels. This internal is the very first form from which a man becomes and is a man, and by means of it the Lord is united to man. The very heaven that is nearest the Lord is composed of these human internals, but this is above even the inmost angelic heaven, and therefore these internals belong to the Lord himself. By this means the whole human race is most immediately present under the Lord's eyes, for there is no distance in heaven, such as appears in the sublunary world, and still less is there any distance above heaven. See what is said from experience, number 1275-1277. These internals of men have no life in themselves, but are forms recipient of the Lord's life. In so far, therefore, as a man is an evil, whether actual or hereditary, so far has he been, as it were, separated from this internal which is the Lord's and is with the Lord, and thereby so far has he been separated from the Lord. For although this internal has been adjoined to man and is inseparable from him, nevertheless, in so far as he recedes from the Lord, so far he, as it were, separates himself from it. See number 1594. But the separation is not an absolute sundering from it, for then the man could no longer live after death. But it is a dissent and disagreement on the part of those faculties of his which are below, that is, of his rational and of his external man. In so far as there is dissension and disagreement, there is disjunction from the Lord. But in so far as there is not dissension and disagreement, the man is conjoined with the Lord through the internal, which takes place in so far as the man is in love and charity. For love and charity conjoin. Such is the case with man. But the Lord's internal was Yahuwah himself, because he was conceived from Yahuwah, who cannot be divided and become another's, as is the case with a son who is conceived from a human father. For the divine is not divisible like the human, but is and remains one and the same. To this internal the Lord united the human essence, and because the Lord's internal was Yahuwah, it was not a form recipient of life like the internal of man, but was life itself. His human essence also in like manner was made life by the union, on which account the Lord so often said that he is life, as in John. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. 5:26. Besides other passages in the same Gospel. John 1:4. 5:21. 6:33, 35, 48. 11:25. Insofar, therefore, as the Lord was in the human which he received by inheritance from the mother, so far did he appear distinct from Yahuwah and adore Yahuwah as one different from himself. But insofar as the Lord put off this human, he was not distinct from Yahuwah, but was one with him. The former state, as before said, was the Lord's state of humiliation, but the latter was his state of glorification. 2000. And God spake with him, saying, that this signifies a degree of perception is evident from the signification of Yahuwah's saying, which is to perceive, number 1898-1899. Here it signifies a degree of perception, because he was in a state of humiliation or of adoration, in which he was conjoined and united to Yahuwah in proportion to the degree of the humiliation, for humiliation carries this with it. That perceptions are more and more interior may be seen above, number 1616. 2001. That the expression God is used for the reason that the Lord is represented by the God Shaddai, whom Abram worshipped, and also because truth is treated of, which was to be united to good, is evident from what has been said before. In the Word, the Lord is sometimes called Yahuwah, sometimes Yahuwah God, also the Lord Yahweh, and sometimes God, and always for a hidden reason in the internal sense. Where love or good and the celestial church are treated of, he is called Yahuwah. But when faith or truth and the spiritual church are treated of, he is called God, and this uniformly. And the reason is that the Lord's very being itself is of love, and the being thence derived is of faith. Number 709, 732. Here, therefore, the Lord is called God because the truth which is to be united to good is treated of. Another reason is that the Lord willed to be represented by the God Shaddai that Abram worshipped, on which account the name God is retained in what follows. For in this chapter he is called Yahuwah only once, and God several times, as in verses 7, 8, 15, 18, 19, 22, 23.